There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 on this Thursday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're along. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, check out the website, fmtalk1065.com. Online opinion poll question, how long does the shutdown last? If you had guessed in the first week when we put this poll up last week, you're out. But is it by the end of this month? Is it 1 to 3 months? Is it a year? Is it never? We'd love to hear your thoughts on it when you vote online, front page of fmtalk1065.com. Lots to talk about in state news and in national news. Some of the big stories right now nationally, of course, this latest with Cohen hiring a IT firm to rig early CNBC Drudge polls to favor Trump. This is a story, okay? Wall Street Journal has it. Here's their take. It's a Michael Rothfield's story. It says in early 2015, a man who runs a small technology company showed up at Trump Tower to collect $50,000 for having helped Michael Cohen, the then Donald Trump personal lawyer, try to rig online polls in his boss's favor before the presidential campaign. In his Trump organization office, Mr. Cohen surprised the man, John Goger, by giving him money in a blue Walmart bag between $12,000 and $13,000 in cash. All right, so you've probably heard that part so far. That's the discussion of, were these polls, early polls, paid off here? Now, doesn't this just go into, and we'll get into the in-depth parts of this story in next hour. Next hour, we'll talk about it. But if this is true, if... Unlike everybody else in media, I'll ask the question, if it is true, I mean, why are we believing Cohen, right? I mean, this guy's shown himself to be of questionable integrity. But if Cohen is right and this was happening, does this give you even less faith? I mean, look at how the polling cycle failed in 2016. The polls all, you know, the polls were telling you this Donald Trump guy, he didn't have a chance. Hillary Clinton's going to walk away with this thing. Even in the primaries, go back to the Republican primaries, it had it laid out that Donald Trump didn't have a chance. Now, of course, that leaves me with just the question of, before this other story, that, well, maybe this is a situation where they weren't polling the right people. Remember we talked about that? They weren't asking the people that would then show up months later to vote for President Trump how they're going to vote. They're just asking the same old, same olds. But now this brings the question is, how much of this goes on? And we'll talk about this in hour number two. Also in hour number two of the show, one of my friends, co-workers here, who was a reporter for Fox 10 TV, not that long ago, 70s or so, and was part of an alien abduction story that took place right here on the Northern Gulf Coast. He reported on it back then. He's going to come in and talk about his recollections all these years later. Aliens, have you been visited? Have you been taken up into the mothership? We'll talk to my buddy Rennie Brabner about that coming up at 1:30 and what he remembers from back in the 1970s with this story that got some attention this week over on the Fox 10 website. And we'll get ready to talk to John Sharp from AL.com. This story is like, I couldn't have chosen a better time to get back in this conversation. If you've been listening to the show any period of time, you know that I have questioned. I'm not a completely anti-incentive person, but I am one that questions the incentives we give as a state or local county level when we do the incentives to bring business in, get people to come in and bring their company, whatever it is, into Alabama. What do we offer? Do we offer incentives on the front? Do we offer incentives on the backside? Do we do both? Airbus story, which is a positive story. I've talked about it with this significance of maybe here by the completion of the A220 facility, Mobile being the fourth biggest aircraft manufacturing city on the planet. These are great stories. And I'm not here to just go negative on that. But the question is, what was offered? Is it worth what will be gained? Now, Airbus is not TK. Different things. And we'll go through the incentive packages that were offered for this new Airbus facility and ask the questions, should we do this for all businesses when it comes to the state? Why do we do for one, not for the other? And do we, the taxpayers, get decent ROI on the money that comes out of incentive packages? We'll talk to John coming up in just a second about that. Then I'll hear from you in the second half of the hour at 343-0106. All right. John's going to join us next. His story is put it up on the Twitter feed right now. You can check this out. Read along with us here. Alabama's incentives for Airbus, public relations donation or investment in the future. Check it out. And we'll talk to John next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good to have him back on the show from AL.com. Our buddy John Sharp checking in. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing today?
Doing good. And good to have you here. This is a story that I've talked about over the years, and it's a question of, you know, how much do you spend to get new business? How much do you spend to grow jobs in a state? And it is a question that that I've had people from the state tell me, you know, basically there, you don't get it. It has to be, you know, to compete in today's world, you have to incentivize businesses to come here. Other people have said, hey, we go too far with incentives. But you have a story up today over at AL.com, Alabama's incentives for Airbus, public relations donation or investment in the future. Walk us through this story, John.
Yeah, so as you laid it out, incentives are always a debated issue every time there's a project. But, you know, in a lot of cases, when it comes to these large, you bring in a large manufacturing operation that also brings hundreds of jobs, politicians are almost look at it as a no-brainer anymore, whereas, you know, decades ago, this was unheard of. Nowadays, it's common practice. And a company like Airbus, which is already has a presence in Mobile, so they're not bringing, this is not a new company coming into Mobile. They're here. They have a presence, but they want to build this big new manufacturing plant to construct the A220. You know, they looked at Mobile County and the state of Alabama as prior partners on the first manufacturing facility. And they said, you know, the negotiations went on, and they said, well, this is the way we, you know, this is, you know, these are kind of the expectations. But as we all know, you know, it's a combined $25 million incentive when you add up the county, the city, and the state. And it could be more because we're not factoring in the exact property tax abatement that they're going to be getting as well on this. So when you combine all those factors together, you're talking about a pretty hefty incentive still, $25 million. But for Airbus and their bottom line, does it really, I mean, is it a make or break deal? And that's a question that I was asking yesterday. I mean, you know, if these incentives don't come, does Airbus say, hey, you know, let's move this thing to Canada where the A220 had previously been constructed? So, you know, it opens up a question, you know, whether or not a company that is as big as Airbus, you know, one of the largest manufacturers of commercial jet planes in the country or in the world, you know, whether or not they, you know, these type of incentives really matter to them, or if it's just a kind of a feel good thing for politicians to, you know, say that they are competitive in the business world, that they're competitive in these incentives, and that other states should be on alert that Alabama is willing to give this, this, and this in order to land a particular business.
Yeah, I want to get into the some of the discussion that's been sent to me on this is the idea that, okay, well, Sean, yeah, you incentivize the whale or the big get here, and then you make up for it with all the ancillary companies that come in because they don't get the same deal. You're looking at some heady numbers. Quoting in your story here, you're quoting Canfield, who said it was 270% return on investment from the Airbus plant. Now, I mean, if you could guarantee that in your retirement fund, it would be great. I mean, how does he flesh that out?
Yeah, so they're looking at the new jobs and the payroll that's coming into the state of Alabama we're talking about several hundred new jobs by 2021. So they're taking this and they're figuring it out going into the future, you know, what their estimates are in regards to this return on investment. And they're looking at, you know, ultimately the what they're looking at is ultimately all these new employees coming on board, their payroll and what they're bringing to the economy. And they're saying that, well, you know, this is a good deal for Alabama, and perhaps it very well might be. I mean, but it is coming at a cost, and that's the question that folks that are kind of watchdogs on these incentive deals throughout the country are saying that, you know, even though it's Airbus and it could bring all these hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars in future sales tax revenues and property tax revenues, up front you're taking a certain, you know, it's kind of, there's a short-term cost, and you're putting this money to Airbus. You're taking it and diverting it to this company that otherwise would have gone to public services, such as municipal services for roads and various other projects, and especially the school systems. But in, you know, Airbus right now is the popular thing in Mobile. Nobody's going to tell them no. The person that does is going to get a lot of attention in the media. These incentives went through the county and the city unanimously, and the state came in full force and didn't blink twice in regards to the program that it is providing, which includes a payroll tax incentive and a $8 million upfront incentive that will go towards their capital costs on building this new manufacturing plant.
Just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com and talking about these incentives. All right, because you mentioned, does it make much of a difference to Airbus, the kind of money that it's obviously a bigger chunk of change to a municipality like Mobile than it is to this international company. But, you know, if I'm an investor, if I'm a shareholder in Airbus, their job is not to make people feel, their job is to make money, right? And so the best deal for the company, I mean, I don't blame them. That's if the incentives are out there, they're going to try to shop one against the other because that's their job, is to return the most profit.
Exactly. But as you know, there's been more scrutiny on these incentives throughout the country. I mean, I think there's becoming a little bit more, at least where there's been more media attention, which has been nice for a change, and a little bit more backlash out there, especially after the Amazon, some of the hoops that these cities went through to try and larger cities to try and get Amazon's attention. It was kind of like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, it was almost obscene at times, you know, that they were giving away the entire city, you know, their collective identity, it seemed like. So that got out of control. And then we looked at, you know, Mazda and Toyota, and that's coming to Huntsville. And yes, Alabama's rolling out a very competitive incentive of something like over $300 million for that plant. And it's a tremendous, I mean, it's bringing in thousands of jobs, about 1,000 jobs. But then you look at North Carolina, and reportedly they were willing to spend something like $1.5 billion in incentives. And that, and you know, so even though that the incentive programs, you know, Alabama might not be offering the most, at times they're still getting these companies because of various other factors like logistics, workforce, labor wage costs, so on and so forth. There's various factors. So the incentives aren't the number one thing, obviously, that they help. You talk to these companies and they're like, well, yeah, this is something that, you know, is a nice benefit. But, it's not the most determining factor in whether or not a company is going to locate in a particular area. And we saw, like I said, we saw that with Mazda Toyota plant up north.
You know, I think maybe part of it down here in this neck of the woods, maybe the entire state, though, is there some sore feelings or a sore backside here from what a lot of people saw with the TK deal, which is now ArcelorMittal, but that was a deal where Alabama got the definite short end of the stick in that, and people are kind of still reacting to that.
Yeah, that is sore, and you have people that are still reacting to that. You can't go back and change things, but you have to do a better job going forward. And we've seen that over the years as well. You know, it's kind of like these incentive programs are there, and you're right. I mean, like almost everybody seems to be doing it. So, you know, if Alabama doesn't, they're going to get lost in the shuffle or left behind. And so if we're going to wind up doing it, it's good to do an incentive program that's benefit to, that could be as benefit to the taxpayers as possible. Now, there's different incentive programs offered in states throughout the country. I mean, you know, I know in some states, the TIF district is utilized by cities and counties that, foregoes property taxes, new property taxes on various developments in states where property taxes are higher. And, that has been criticized by school systems as sucking away valuable resources for their day-to-day operations. And some of these, and over the years, the tax incentives have kind of tightened up. Cities are looking at it saying, well, you know, we'll accept these particular TIF deals as long as you don't hurt the school systems. And here's, and it's a negotiation. Whereas years ago, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, it was more likely to say, hey, you're a new business, these jobs, okay, here you go, we're going to sign off on it. And so there's more scrutiny on these things, and I think going forward, we're going to see continued scrutiny on them.
But you mentioned, you talk about property tax abatement and what that means for school systems. I'll look out here in Mobile County when we have the Walmart distribution facility. When you take something that is ag land in that case, or something that does not have, and you can look at forestry and ag and what we pay in property taxes on that in Alabama, which is low, if you don't lose a whole bunch for what comes in elsewhere into the system, if you're to believe, the multiplier effect, it's not like you're changing, you're not giving, you're not bulldozing one sortation facility was paying full freight property tax for another one. I mean, often you're taking an undeveloped place or a place that is not bringing in much in property tax and switching it out. So the loss isn't like 100% loss of what could be there.
Right, exactly. But, what could be the benefit? I mean, you would assume, though, when you're bringing in these mega massive distribution centers or these manufacturing plants that, the tax base is going to get a benefit too.
Mm-hmm.
But in the short term, actually, we're not. And then you also bring in new workers, you bring in new residents, that's stress on the transportation systems and on the infrastructure in your community. So those things also have to be taken into consideration. And a lot of times when you look at those economic development reports that are done by economists or professors or whatever have you, they don't take sometimes that into account and, kind of those outside impacts of a tax incentive. And they very much are real.
Yeah, I think there's a good bit of debate going around on the deals that are offered, and we'll talk about this one some more. But the idea that if you give incentives on the come, if you say, okay, the business comes here and then they, they have a reduction in their tax, what they have to pay in taxes, it does not bother me nearly as much as one of these, what I'll call a full freight curb and gutter, incentive program. Because if you give people on the come, then listen, you've grown the economy by some amount beyond where it was. And if they have a reduction in their tax liability, then so be it. There's still more money in the system than there was before.
Right. That's correct. And you're correct by that. I mean, that's the advantage, obviously, of these programs, and the cities know this. I mean, the counties know this, and the state, and with Alabama, the viewpoint is that they want to stay competitive and drawing these manufacturing plants. This state needs jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the economy is strong right now, going forward, jobs are going to be very important to what politician doesn't like the ribbon cuttings and the groundbreaking.
That's right.
So, expect these more in the future. But again, it helps to have this scrutiny. It helps that, your show and some of the journalists in the state, have to pay attention to this kind of stuff, because, when you have a county and a city government, and they're all going to unanimously approve these incentives. They think Airbus is great, and there's no doubt about it that Airbus is a wonderful company right now that's doing some great things for Mobile. But, you know, it does still deserve scrutiny. I mean, it is the public sector, and, you know, it doesn't hurt to shine a light and have these discussions on whether or not, you know, going long-term, you know, that these short-term breaks are to a benefit for a community or for the state.
Yeah, well said. Y'all can read more by going to AL.com, looking up the story. Go to my Twitter feed where I've just fed it out over there. Or best, just go directly. I'm not saying you're a horse, but go to the horse's mouth. John, if they're going to find you online, where do they go?
At JohnSharp99 on Twitter. And my stories are up on AL.com. And I post them on Facebook as well.
I didn't mean to call you a horse, man.
Mr. Ed.
That's right. Thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
All right, John, thanks.
All right, coming right back, I want to hear from you. What do you think? You heard John talk about it. Incentives, and too much, too little? What's right? Is there a sweet spot? Is it zero? Or is it 100%? Where do you go? 343-0106. 343-0106. We're coming right back. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. It's Midday Mobile. That's blasphemy. A friend of mine sent me a story here. Avocados were so last year. Wall Street Journal is reporting that... Okay, well, if this is true, then I'm going to save some money on avocados. It's that agriculture company stocks are falling dramatically because avocado demand has gone down markedly. Well, if that is true, then let's see that show up at the grocery. I'm crazy for the avocados. I dig the avocados. I mean, I hate it for the people that are... what do you do with an avocado? You farm them? You don't ranch them? You grow them, but I mean, if you're... You're not an arborist in the case if you're harvesting those. But the avocado growers, I hate it for them in the world. But if it means, you know, a little lower grocery bill for me when I buy avocados, I don't know. I'll try to get that story put up on Twitter. I can't believe that. Avocados not in demand. I guess I'm so last year. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, you can check out that story from John Sharp over at AL.com. I linked it through on the Twitter feed. It is an old discussion, but it just has a new face that we've been having around here since, well, I'd say the TK days, right? David Preston in Mobile, first up. Hey, man.
Is that demand decreased demand for avocados because of so last year, or is it because of that health scare that they had last year?
Everything has, air has a health scare, you know? I mean, everything has a health scare. They're saying that it's because their demand for other perishable items has gone up while avocados has gone down. I'm very bothered. But I mean, I'm happy if it makes me save a little bit of money for avocados, but who doesn't like an avocado? Come on.
Exactly. Like Nick Saban wins national championships in football, Greg Canfield wins national championships in economic development.
Okay, fair enough.
And just like Nick Saban learns from his defeats and his mistakes, so does Greg Canfield, because I think Canfield's been there back since the Bob Riley days, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're correct, yes.
And I think he was integral in putting that TK deal together. And, you know, since it, you know, when it blew up, I think he learned a lot of things. Because, like, for example, the city and the county portion of the cash payouts to Airbus are going to be over $400,000 over 10 years. So they're not, you know, putting that cash out front. They're reimbursing for capital expenses that has happened, that Airbus is going to put out. And they're still going to have to pay the school-related property taxes. So, and if you think about it, the $25 million cash payout that the county, the city, and the state are all going to pay out to Airbus is around 10% of the total cost of the project. That's a good deal.
You know it is, and John was fair enough in saying this too. This is important because I think it gets lost sometimes that the incentives are just part of it. I mean, if you have a place that does not have the workforce, the infrastructure, how many times I've said it's Brooklyn, it's I-10, it's I-65, it's Mobile River and the port, it's all those things that get the ball rolling. And yes, it's a little bit of seasoning on top of the bigger deal. So it is not the only reason. It's, people don't take their businesses places that don't make sense because there's a big incentive package. That's for sure.
Exactly, and I think Alabama's a secret sauce to all these economic development packages that they win consistently is the workforce development, the AIDT that they have. Because I mean, think about it, with the automotive manufacturing that they have in this state, that's AIDT that did all that training. You've got AIDT that trains people for Austell. You got AIDT when FlightWorks gets up and running is going to be training people for Airbus. So that, I think that's Alabama's secret sauce.
You wonder though, where's the cutoff line? Like, how many jobs do you have to potentially bring in, and at what income rate to get these deals, the AIDTs? Let's just stay with that. Let's just stay with training. Like, if there's not a state of Alabama sponsored place to train broadcasters for me to hire to this radio station, right? I mean, I've got to do that. In your business, there's not somebody training people to do what you do with the state and paying for that. So while that makes, if you have a smaller company, that makes sense. You say, okay, well, there's no reason to do it. But where is it? Is it 200 employees? I mean, if there's a company out there that is doing something other than Airbus and they're going to hire 200 or 300, don't they? Why wouldn't they deserve? Why wouldn't they deserve the same attention from the state that they've been part of and paying taxes to already?
I think it's a moving target, to answer your question the best way I can, because it also depends on what kind of job skills are required for the jobs that you're bringing to the state of Alabama. Because, you have the Alabama Community College System that already has a strong network of community colleges in the state that already has programs for welding, for truck driving, for all these trades, all these skills that they can teach people. And if they can incorporate that into a program that they already have that's existing, and it doesn't cost them a whole lot of extra money, they may be able to do it for a company that wants to bring 50 jobs to Alabama versus a company like Airbus or Austell or Toyota Mazda that's going to bring hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs.
And David, and good talkers there, and appreciate your points. Thanks for the call. We'll grab some more at 343-0106. You can break this down, either saying that there's type A or type B, or I think to be more honest about it, you would say you can select different kinds of incentives. And in those, at least personally, my level of agreement or disagreement goes up and down. I'd say at one end of the spectrum, or like I said to John, all the incentives on the come. In other words, you bring this business here, you hire the people you're talking about hiring, you're chugging along, I'm going to give you tax breaks. And people go, oh, you can't give them tax breaks. That's money that should go into the revenue. That money wasn't there in the first place. So I have zero problem. In my scale of having problems with something, I have zero problem with that. Zero. Because you take from nothing and you bring a new business in and they create wealth, they create through jobs and through growth, they create that wealth. And so if they have a reduction in the amount of tax implication, it's tough, believe me. As a homeboy and somebody who's in business here, I will often point out and say, hey, why don't we get that same deal? But I kind of get, there's a good bit of pragmatism that has over the decades eroded my idealism, so I get it. But on the other end of the spectrum is the, we'll build the whole thing for you. And there's, I mean, the problem is, and I will have issue with that, because then you're spending money up front, whether it be a state, a county, municipality, you're taking taxpayer money and you're building a structure, something that has depreciation, something that is, only can be used for that. I mean, you got a facility that can only be used for whatever it is, right? You can't put something else in there. Not that we have those around town, like baseball stadiums. You build a facility that can only do one thing, and then you can't do anything else with it, right? Then you're negotiating from a point of weakness if that tenant, whomever that is, would leave. Well, same thing here when you start pouring a lot of money into curb and gutter and building and all that. That's on the other end of the spectrum for me. I don't like that. In between is probably where most of this is done, and it bears out discussion. I'd like to hear from you. And also on the property tax side, when there's property tax abatements, this one's back towards the, I don't have a big problem with it. If you take an area like the Walmart situation, distribution center and you take some ag land somewhere that you do not have. And that, you know, that's what you got to compare. Are you trading apples for oranges? You're trading peanuts for Walmart? Meaning, if you have, let's say you have 100 acres and you're going to put some kind of big facility in there and you're going to give them a property tax abatement. Let's say you're going to have 100% abatement. If the revenue on that 100 acres in taxes for the state or for the school system was $200, you know, then you're okay. You're okay. But because quite often we go, well, we're losing all that revenue. No, you're not, because the revenue wasn't whatever it would be for a big facility before it was built. It was for, you know, land that was ag or forest or maybe even some kind of business that wasn't even operating. So it's a fair discussion, and it's one that I think we – you've got Canfield, and yes, I agree with you, David, that Greg Canfield has had big wins here. He's had some losses, but had some big wins as well. And I'm cheering for Airbus. Y'all heard me. I'm happy. But I think if you don't ask the questions of how much is too much, because you could get in a battle here. You know, the only way to negotiate something is going into it ready to walk away from it, correct? Whether you're buying a 10-speed bike off Craigslist or you're trying to incentivize a multinational company to come to our state, you walk into any negotiation, if you're doing it correctly, with the ability to say, can't do that. That's too much. I just want to make sure we as a state have that, can't do that feeling here. That there is a point, and it's a different story. Airbus already here. I get it. I get nuance. I do. But we will have a new company. There's probably, I'm probably four or five of them that Canfield and the state are working on right now, trying to recruit to the state. Maybe even more. I don't know. There is a certain point where if they come back and say, well, South Carolina offered us this, Tennessee offered us this, there's a certain point where you come back and you can counter, but I have to have faith, I hope, in the state that there's a certain point where we go, yeah, we can't do that. Then go to Tennessee. Then go to South Carolina. What do you think? 343-0106. 343-0106. All right. Somebody asking, what does the further revenue mean for the people that get paychecks? I mean, I can play that game. Yeah, sure. I can say, if you're talking about property taxes, I could say, this is all the province of economists that have a lot of time and lots of college kids working for them to do the stats. But you could say, okay, there are 250 new people hired on with whatever facility. ABC, International ABC Widget Company, comes to the state of Alabama. They hire 250 people at this rate, and we can deduce from that there'll be a 100 new homes purchased. And those 100 new homes will have, you know, the median price of this, and so we believe the property tax for those will be this and equal more than... Yeah, I can play that game. Sure, there's some scenario I can, but there's a bunch of unknowns there. What I do know is that when you go ahead and do big outlay of cash ahead of time, and a company doesn't come in and do what it says it's going to do, it's we the people, the taxpayers, hold the bag. If they come in and do what they said, and then we cut them some slack on their taxes, then everybody wins. 12:46, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, coming up next hour, y'all, it's a story that came back from the beyond. Story from back in the 1970s, and now has some new life here. After 45 years, a Gulf Coast man who is in declining health has written a book, they say, to leave his legacy. Story from Fox10TV.com says Calvin Parker is now ready to tell the story of the event that would change his life forever. And it's a discussion of being abducted by aliens. And coming up next hour, our buddy Rennie Brabner is going to join us to talk more about this. Also, this is on this planet. This is happening on this planet. Heck, it's at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. So it's not extra. It's just terrestrial, but it's a darn good deal going on. Two events that I want you to take notice of at Cottage Hill Package. First of all, they've got Cottage Hill Package starting the new year with the biggin of the craft brewing industry. I mean, it's weird saying, it's kind of oxymoronic, right? Craft brewing and the big one, the megalith. But Sierra Nevada, one of my favorites, producers of craft beer, they're going to be out at Cottage Hill Package tonight from 6 to 9 at the front bar. Neil from Sierra Nevada will be in the house to give you samples of their Brute IPA, their Resilience Butte County Proud IPA, their Sierra Vesa Lager, their Narwhal Imperial Stout, and some other surprises. And while you're there, you can come out and grab a six-pack or two of the great beer, sample some, pick out a new six-pack, then go up front, right? Because up front, 6 o'clock as well, I'm sorry, in the back, up front it's the beer, in the back in the lounge, it's the Perdomo Cigar event. So it's, listen to this, your chance to win a bourbon barrel aged humidor from Perdomo tonight. Here's how it works. You can buy, come out and buy cigars and then get registered in this drawing. You get in the raffle to win this humidor valued at $3,500. You buy 10 cigars, you get 3 raffle tickets. Or if you really want to stock up here, you can get 24 of the Perdomo cigars and you'll get 10 raffle tickets. Once again, this puts you in the drawing for that $3,500 humidor. And it, by the way, they said it's big enough that it holds 150 large ring gauge cigars. You can check it out. Look at it before you get in the raffle. But that's tonight at 6 as well. And also, on top of that, I'd say my probably favorite part of this is the Manis family and Ray, the patriarch, is cooking Cuban food tonight. And he is fantastic at that. So you come out, you get some free food, check out the Perdomo cigar event. Also, the beer tasting from the folks at Sierra Nevada. It's all tonight starting at 6, goes to a 9, free event to come out to Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, and make sure to like them over on Facebook. All right, we'll get into, I guess we can get into Washington stories. Hollis, that's a good question, and I don't have an answer to it. Hollis is asking, does Airbus collect sales tax on every plane sold? You know, I would imagine it would be where it is sold, not produced, right? Yeah, that would be trouble with the 10%, 10 cents on the dollar sales tax here in Mobile. I imagine that would be at a point of sale, not at a point of production. But I'm don't know that for sure, but that's pretty much where so it would be about, you know, maybe what that, wherever the corporate offices. I mean, okay, Delta's in Atlanta, right? They're in Georgia. I guess if they receive that A220, you heard the Delta people talk about how excited they were about that plane. If they take receipt of that plane in Georgia, maybe they pay the sales taxes there. There'll be somebody on the tax line, Hollis, that can help us out with this, but I don't think you pay what the taxes would be here for Mobile County and City of Mobile. No, I was going to say, we'll talk some more. We can talk some more state here in just a little bit, but also on the national front. Although I would argue that the incentive packages the state of Alabama uses to recruit business and business recruitment stories for Alabama means more to your daily life than what Cohen did or did not do for President Trump. But I've been proven time and time again over the years that that's not how the world works. Way more worried in the soap opera surrounding President Trump than you are in something that would be as close to home as where your state tax dollars are spent. So the Cohen story that has everybody talking, we could get your take on this. Is Cohen, who now I would say as a witness would be a flawed witness, I think that's fair, whether you believe him or not, you could argue that you have a flawed witness in Cohen, is saying that he was giving money out at the instruction for then-candidate Trump to rig polls, okay? Wall Street Journal story popped up today. Michael Rothfield and Rob Berry put this out. It said in early 2015, okay, so think about this. This is well before you were fully in the primaries and the general cycle, said early in 2015, a man who runs a small technology company showed up at Trump Tower to collect $50,000 for having helped Michael Cohen, then Donald Trump's personal lawyer, try to rig online polls in his boss's favor before the presidential campaign. In his Trump Organization office, Mr. Cohen surprised the man, John Galger, by giving him a blue Walmart bag. When did Walmart have blue bags? Containing between $12,000 and $13,000 in cash and randomly a boxing glove that Mr. Cohen said had been worn by a Brazilian mixed martial arts fighter. Mr. Cohen disputes that he handed over a bag of cash. He said all monies paid to Mr. Galger were by check. He said, offering no further comment on his ties to the consultant. Now, this guy, Galger, owns Redfinch Solutions, LLC, and is chief information officer at Liberty University in Virginia, where Jerry Falwell Jr., the evangelical leader and fervent Trump supporter, is president. This guy, Galger, said he never got the rest of what he claimed he was owed, but Mr. Cohen, in early 2017, still asked for and received a $50,000 reimbursement from Mr. Trump and his company for work done by this company, Redfinch, according to a government document and a person familiar with the matter. Reimbursement made on the sole basis of a handwritten note from Mr. Cohen and paid out of Mr. Trump's personal account demonstrates the level of trust the lawyer once had within the Trump Organization. All right, Trump Organization has declined comment on this. So the discussion here is a couple things. I mean, do you believe this Galger? Do you believe Cohen? Do you believe either of them? Maybe neither of them? And if so, how widespread was the idea of spending money to move polling information? And if this comes out, that it's anywhere beyond some online opinion poll, and it goes any further up, will you ever trust a poll again? Oh, speaking of which, our online opinion poll question popping over at the website, fmtalk1065.com. How long does the shutdown last? We'd love your vote right now.